Good morning. So good to see so many people out this morning. I want to welcome our visitors. We're so glad you've chosen to be with us this morning. I want to start out by saying how thankful I am to Dick and Ray for covering for me last Sunday. I was not supposed to be here last Sunday. We were supposed to be in Ohio, and circumstances changed that made us come in late that Saturday night, so I was very happy that they were prepared and willing to do so. And I do count it a blessing to be a part of a group of so many men that I could have made that call to that are willing and able to present from God's Word. We're going to be leaving for Tampa tomorrow very early in the morning. The plan right now is 3 in the morning to avoid traffic. We'll see how that goes. I've been invited to participate in a preacher workshop at the 58th Street Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. It's going to be a new experience for me. It's a new experience for them, in fact. They're hoping to make this into an annual event, but this is the first time they've done anything like it, and I've been invited to participate. So we plan to be in Tampa by Tuesday when I preach there. We're going to be coming back. The plan is to come back Saturday. So after all that driving, I ought to be here red-eyed and droopy-tailed Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be here, and I am prepared for that Sunday. I plan to kick off a series on baptism, starting off with a lesson on what it does and what it does not do. So I encourage you to be here next Sunday morning for that. Bringing it back to today, tonight, we're going to be talking from Philippians chapter 2 on the mind of Christ. But this morning, I invite you to turn your Bibles and attention now to Mark chapter 4, 1 to 20, as we talk about the parable of the sower. And what I want you to do with me as we look at this familiar passage is look at it from a different standpoint. And that is, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's why I want you to think about this. Not just someone knowing you're a Christian or accusing you of being a Christian and treating you the way they want to treat you, but a full-blown courtroom procedural from our justice system that if you were to be put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Character witnesses, evidences, things like that of that sort. Would there be enough for them to say there's evidence of Jesus in you? And that's what I want us to be thinking of as we look through Mark chapter 4. That is there evidence of Jesus in you? 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul said it's important to examine oneself so that we do not fall. And he used Israel as an example. They had all the blessings that God blessed them with. They had all the blessings from Abraham that they were recipients of. And that God loved them. He took care of them. And yet through all of those blessings, they still fell. And so he says that we need to make sure that we do not fall in the same way. In Mark 4, 1 to 20, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And in Matthew 13, 18, this is what he calls it. I often think of it as the parable more of the soil, but Jesus himself referred to it as the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 18, so that's what we're going to call it. It is a good illustration of whether or not there is enough evidence of Jesus in your life to convict you of living as a Christian. In Mark 4, 1 to 2, Jesus was teaching a large crowd, and he was teaching in parables. Thayer describes a parable, this Greek word described as parable, as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I often say it's something physical that we can take and see in physical life and make a spiritual application to it. Jesus tells this parable when teaching a large crowd. And so in verses 3 through 9, he tells the parable of the sower who sowed the same seed on 4 different soils with 4 different results. And in verses 10 to 13, when away from the crowds, the disciples asked about the parables Jesus taught. Jesus talked about the seed sown by the wayside, where birds come and snatch it away. He talks about it being falling upon a rocky place where the sun scorches it after it springs up and it withers away and dies. He talks about it being sown about the thorny ground, where it grows up and the thorns choke it out, and then some falling on good ground where it produces fruit. And so when he's away from the crowds, his disciples ask him about this parable, and he explained to them that he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, 9 to 10, and he explained that they receive the mystery of the kingdom of God, while others get everything in parables. Again, talking something earthly or physical and making a heavenly or spiritual application with it. So in verses 14 to 20, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. And that's where our focus is going to be this morning, is on his explanation of this parable of these 4 different soils. But Jesus explains that the sower is the preacher or teacher of God's word. In this instance, it could even refer to Jesus. The seed is the gospel or word of God. He tells us what the seed is. And the soil are four different reactions to the word of God. Luke 8, verse 15, on that account, refers to the soil as a heart. So he's talking about people. He's talking about the hearts of people that the word of God is sown on and their reaction to it. So the soil in this parable is four different reactions to the word of God. We can take the soil test that Jesus gives to know if there's any evidence of Jesus in our hearts. You know, oftentimes when you're to buy a piece of land and you want to do something with that land, you'll pay to have a soil test done. And you're looking for some criteria that soil is going to meet your investment in that soil, right? Before you buy that land, you do the soil test because you want to make sure it's got what you need for what you plan to do with it. Jesus gives us this soil test of the heart to know if there is any evidence of him in our lives. And so that's what I want you to be thinking of as we look through the explanation of this parable. So begin reading with me in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, as we talk about the first soil, the soil beside the road. It says, "These are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." The soil represents anyone who hears the word, and Satan takes it away. Matthew 13, 19 says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it." So this person, this soil, let's examine the evidence of Jesus in their heart. They heard the word, but they allowed Satan, for whatever reason, to take away the word from their heart, as Luke 8 and verse 12 says. The soil is an unbeliever who hardens his heart against obeying the gospel. They heard it, but they reject it. Their condition is one of being blinded by Satan, as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. There is no evidence of Jesus in the soil beside the road's heart. There is no evidence of Jesus in this person's heart. The soil beside the road describes a heart who doesn't let the word of God inside. Then we go to the second soil, and this one's a little different, the rocky places. Verses 16 to 17 says, "In a similar way, these are the ones in whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away." This is the person who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. This is talking about a saint. This is talking about a Christian. This is a person who hears the word, is obedient to the gospel, and becomes a Christian. So let's examine the evidence of Jesus in their heart. Mark 4:17, I want you to notice these phrases from that passage. Look at these phrases from Mark 4:17. "No firm root in themselves, only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away." For a time, this person may appear faithful, but they're not grounded. This is not just the trials of life that get in their way. This is not just the trials of life that break this person. It's very specific. It's specific, targeted trouble or affliction. Notice that Mark 4:17 says, "because of the word." So trouble is going to arise in their lives, persecution perhaps, that affects all manner of their lives, especially in this time period in the first century. It could affect their financial means. It could affect their social means. It could affect all manner of things. It could come in all kinds of different forms. Trouble, persecution. Luke 8:13 calls it, adds to that phrase, temptation. So we could say trouble, persecution, and temptation cause this person to fall away because of the word. That means when things get tough, not just in general, but because of who they are, because they're Christians. And when things get tough, whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, threats of death, death to their family members, whatever it is, this makes them a fair weather Christian. When trouble arises, it says they immediately fall away. They break. The rocky soil Christian has no evidence of Jesus in their heart. When things get tough because of their faith, they drop it. There's no evidence of Jesus in their hearts. The one who falls away because of affliction, persecution, and temptation does teach us something, though. You can't grow fruit on the rocks. If your heart is that rocky soil, you have not allowed the Word of God to take firm root in your heart. When trouble or affliction arises, it says you will fall away because you're not going to stand firm. You can't grow fruit on the rocks. The third soil is the soil sown among the thorns. And this is from Mark 4, 18 and 19. It says, "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." But notice what it says about this one in verse 18. This is one who hears the word. This is representative of one who hears the word and obeys the gospel, one who becomes a saint. They are Christian. But let's examine the evidence of Jesus in the heart of the thorny Christian, the thorny soil. Mark 4:19 says, "The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Luke 8:14 adds to this and says, "The worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and pleasures of this life." The pleasures of this life. Mark describes it as the desires for other things. See what he's describing? He's describing the Christian that looks around at all the distractions the world has to offer. And they're pleasurable things. They're things we want to engage in. Some are good, some are not. Some are outright evil and have no business in a Christian's life. But he's talking about a Christian that looks at all these other things. They become his priority, his or her focus. And they lose sight of who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. And he says, this is a distracted Christian. This is not a fair-weather Christian like the rocky soil, but this is a distracted Christian. The danger of this is it can creep on you so suddenly you don't know what's happening. This stuff isn't going to happen overnight. Weeds don't just sprout up overnight and choke you out. Weeds start growing in and you start allowing them to grow. You start allowing them to get taller and taller until they block out what you're supposed to be doing. Entangled with the affairs of this life is another way it's described. From 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. This person is obedient for a time, but out of their distraction, they become entangled with the affairs of the world, and they become unfruitful. John 15, 1-6 tells us the danger of that. To no longer bear fruit, to be unfruitful is to be cut off. Jesus says the one that does not bear fruit is good for nothing but to be cut off and burned. The thorny soil Christian is so distracted by the world, their light of Christ is dim, so they have very little evidence of Jesus in their hearts. The one that allows choking thorns to render them unfruitful does teach us something, though. You can't grow fruit among the thorns. You have to cut those vines. You have to cut those weeds. You have to get rid of the thorns. Because those distracting thorns growing up in your life are going to keep you from doing what you need to do. They're going to keep you from bearing fruit. And it's a dangerous position to be in. But Jesus talks about a fourth soil that he describes in his explanation as the good soil. In Mark 4 and verse 20, "And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. He says, these are the ones that hear the word and accept it. This is a person who is obedient to the gospel and becomes a saint. Matthew 13, 23 says, they hear the word and understand it. Accepting it is synonymous with understanding it. They accept the terms, the consequences that go with it, and they are obedient from the heart. So let's examine the evidence of Jesus in the heart of the good soil Christian. Notice this phrase from Mark 4 and verse 20, "And they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, as we read through Romans chapter 12 and so many other passages that tell us that we are all members of one body. And as many members, we have different functions. We have many different abilities. Some are going to have that 30, that 60, and that 100-fold fruitful ability. The point is, we need to be using it. We're not always going to attain to the 100-fold, but if we have the ability to bring forth 30, we better do it, right? We have the ability that God has given us. So, examining the evidence of Jesus in the heart of the good soil. Luke 8:15 says, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I want you to notice that this good soil saint does the opposite of the other three soils. From their honest and good heart, they accepted the word, unlike the beside the road soil that outright rejects it. They hold it fast that it is the word, unlike the beside the road soil and the thorny soil. They hold it fast. They don't let anything distract them from it. And they bear fruit with perseverance, unlike the rocky soil. The rocky soil is that Christian that doesn't have the perseverance to endure the trials and temptations and persecutions of this life. The good soil Christian bears fruit through that perseverance. And in fact, telling us that they do it through perseverance indicates they persist through the trouble that the rocky soil Christian falls away from. They persist through trouble. Holding it fast means they don't let Satan or any other distraction in this world take it from their heart. They don't let it be taken away from them. So as we examine the evidence of Jesus in the good soil heart, we find there is much evidence of Jesus in the heart of the fruitful good soil saint. The one who hears, accepts, and holds fast the word of God teaches us that you can grow fruit in an honest and good heart. So as we conclude, and looking at Jesus' soil test, what type of soil are you this morning? Are you like the beside the road soil? No evidence of Jesus Christ in you. Don't harden your heart into wrath and judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-9 tells us you need to obey the gospel. Wrath and indignation, vengeance from the Lord falls on those who do not know God and those who have never obeyed the gospel. Don't let that be you. Are you like the rocky soil? No evidence of Jesus Christ in you when things get tough. If this is you this morning, if you're not being grounded in the faith, you will likely fall away when trouble and hardships arise. You need to remember the words of the Hebrew writer from Hebrews 10, 35-39, that as Christians, we are not of those that shrink back to destruction. God has no pleasure in the one that shrinks back, but of those who have faith to the preserving of our souls. Are you like the thorny soil? Very little evidence of Jesus in you. If you're too busy to study, you are too busy. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us we're to be a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We're to be able to study, to be that workman that God can be well pleased in. If other things are distracting you and you're too busy for the word of God, you're too busy. You have become too preoccupied with the cares of this world and you will not bear fruit for the kingdom of Christ. You need to remember the words of Paul to the saints at Colossae from Colossians 3, 1-3. Don't focus on things on earth. Focus on things of heaven where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And this morning, are you like the good soil? I think all of us want to raise our hand and say, yes, this is us. But let's look at that evidence in our lives. If you are like the good soil, there's going to be much evidence of Jesus in you. Others are going to see it. They're going to know who you are without doubt and without question. If you are bearing fruit, don't get weary from doing good. Continue to hold fast. Hebrews 3:14 and Revelation 3:11 says, what you have, hold fast to it. So the question this morning is there evidence of Jesus in you? Is there evidence of Jesus Christ in your heart? If you were to stand trial today, would there be enough to convict you of being a Christian? You and God know the answer between your heart and your mind. What is in your heart this morning? Think of Jesus' soil test as we go in through this week. As we look at others around us, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, our family, can they see Jesus Christ in you? If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to be. To take that soil test to see if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent and seek forgiveness for sins that you have committed, and know that we are ready to assist you in whatever it is. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ in any way this morning, the waters of baptism or the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, do not hesitate to make it known now. While together we stand and sing.